The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
My teenage self wanted to be famous so bad. I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a guitar player. I wanted to be an actress at one point as well. There was a time where I used to beg my mom to drive me to New York for auditions. And she was like,
so
no, absolutely not.
What you're trying to say is you wanted to be Taylor Swift.
Basically.
What's up, besties? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Childlike Invest with Mike Valdez. And guess what? I am still the second part of that title. If you want to support your boy in any way, please go to my website, thekidfromup.com. There you will find clips to my comedy and everything else involving my Instagram, my TikTok, other places where you can follow me. Also, you can check out my merch at childlikewonder.co. We have the Viewmaster collection, some church merch. I'm so excited about this merch collection. And if you want to buy it and rock it, please do. Put it on Instagram. I'll repost it. I'm so excited about this collection, and I know you will be too. Also, another thing we're doing is we are doing custom ads. So if you want to go to holler.baby/Mike Valdez, I will promote your business, you as a human being. Maybe you have a birthday shout out, something like that. I'm totally here for it. Maybe even you want a topic from your childhood that we haven't talked about on this show, anything like that. Now that we have all the business out of the way, I'm so excited for today's episode. Today's episode is April Gloria. April is an awesome cosplayer and just a really great person that I was so excited to talk about. If you remember my episode with Casey from Growing Up Christian, that is Casey's wife. So I'm actually very excited that I got to talk to April because I don't really know too much about cosplay. So I got to learn a lot about cosplay. If you're into that, you're really going to love this episode. We also talked about growing up in the Christian world and all that stuff and what that was like. And I really think that it's such a fun and interesting episode, and I know that you guys are going to love it. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with April Gloria. I'm so excited to talk to you because I've been on the Growing Up Christian podcast a couple of times now, and I've had Sam, I've had Casey, and, you know, I was just perusing through Instagram as one does, you know, just... You know, whatever people do in their underwear is none of my business, but that's what I do. And so I'm perusing through Instagram and I see one of Casey's stories, and I specifically remember it was your birthday, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never actually seen Casey's wife. Let me see her page. And then I immediately got mad at Casey for not telling me that he was married to someone who is way more famous than he is. And, and looks so much like Taylor Swift that can almost go viral from a clip. Like,
oh my God. Like,
and so, so now that you have all that information, what do I do with this information? I don't know. But yeah, it's really awesome to get to talk to you and to get to meet you and all that stuff. But yeah, you're in like the cosplay world, right?
Yeah, I've cosplayed basically since 2013, so it's been about 10 years.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. And when did it start, like through Comic-Cons and stuff like that?
It kind of started through video games, actually. I had like maybe a couple games growing up. We had Game Boy Color with the Worm Light. And I had two games for it. I had The Lion King and I had 101 Dalmatians.
Wow.
And then we got a PlayStation, and we had two games for that as well. We had the Shaun White snowboarding game, and nice. We had my game was called Portal Runner, and it was like, I think it was an offshoot of the Army Men franchise. It was like, one of the sergeant's daughter or something like that, and she rode like a saber-toothed cat or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't play a ton of video games as a child, but I watched Casey actually, in college, like, I know this is stereotypical, I watch my boyfriend play video games or whatever, but I he was
but
playing
I watch my boyfriend play video games and
he was playing Oblivion, which is in the Elder Scrolls franchise,
right?
And so I watched him play that, which was interesting. I liked that. But I was pretty satisfied to, like, just watch. It was like kind of like watching a movie almost. Like,
sure.
Oh, you're making your person do all this stuff. I don't know. Close all the Oblivion gates and everything. And so then when the next game came out or was going to come out with Skyrim, and he showed me like the preview and stuff. And it was really cool because I've always, when I was a kid, I was really into medieval stuff anyway.
Sure.
Like, medieval and fantasy, like Lord of the Rings was like my favorite thing.
Yeah, and we'll get into that for sure.
Yeah. And so he got the game and I watched him start playing it and I thought it was really cool, like the graphics, because I don't know, everyone's like, graphics don't matter, but like, I don't know, I like a good graphic, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I just thought it was really interesting and I love the open world kind of thing. Like, you're not trapped trying to, you know, fight the same person for 2 hours like in Dark Souls.
Right. Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I want to try creating a character because I love character creation and things like that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start a game. I'm going to create a character. And so I did that. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'll just try the first quest and everything. And I guess long story short, it became like my favorite game ever. And I was obsessed with it. And I'd play it for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of like my foray into playing games. And later, a couple years later, Bioshock Infinite came out, which is like the third game in that series, and which I had seen Casey play the first two. And the character Elizabeth from that game had the same hair as her at the time. It was like a dark brown bob. Like, he was either like Elizabeth or Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men. You can decide if you've ever seen photos of it.
Right.
But I was like, oh, I wonder, because I've always been artistic. I've always liked making things and drawing. Drawing was my favorite thing. And I've always like been into designing characters and like writing stories and writing. I was not a writer, but I tried anyway.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I wonder if I could make a costume of this girl character, Elizabeth, because I liked her as a character. I liked that she was like, not like a damsel in distress and stuff. And I know, I just thought I really liked her. And so there was a comic convention coming up and I'm like, you know, I'm going to throw together a costume, see if I like it. And I didn't have a sewing machine at the time. I had only sewed like a pillow before because my sister was always more into sewing than me. I was more of like a tomboy kind of character as a kid. But so long story short, I threw together the costume, went to the convention and I had a great time. And I couldn't believe people were like, wow, I like your costumes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll try more of this. And so that's kind of how it started. I ended up getting a sewing machine from my grandmother and started just making basically anything that I tried to make. There were a lot of abandoned projects because I was learning a lot, but yeah, I guess that's
as with anything in art, there's so many abandoned projects and things that you come back to and things that you weren't ready for when you first started and now you are, and you know, things like that. The times I've thought of, you know, jokes or written song hooks or something, and then 5 years later something comes up, you know, and you're just like, oh, I figured it out, you know.
Yeah.
So it's there's a bunch of different ways to look at it with all art, you know. You just come back to it when you're ready for it, you know.
It's true.
But where did you grow up?
So I grew up in New Jersey, right across the river from Philly. My dad, we used to work in Philly, managing a ShopRite grocery store.
Nice.
Which he had a lot of fun stories from that.
Okay.
But yeah, so I grew up there. I went to school in Virginia, the famed Liberty University.
Yeah.
Where I met Casey, who we ended up getting married in 2009. And then we moved to Michigan and We lived there for about 5 years, and then now we've been living in Kansas since, I think, 2014 or so. Okay. Yeah.
And where, and so what was it like growing up in Jersey? Like, what do you remember from it?
I really enjoyed where I grew up. Like, most of my childhood, we were living in a little neighborhood in the suburbs, but we had woods behind our house. Mm-hmm. So it was nice because we didn't just, like, you know, walk out your door and see a bunch of neighbors and everything. Like, everyone's yeah. like, oh, New Jersey, that's like a big city, right? Like, no, right. no. We have trees and stuff.
Yeah.
But, we spent a lot of time in the woods. I was obsessed with, like, nature and things like that. And my parents, I loved art. I'd be drawing all the time. I would write little stories. I actually had a foray into songwriting in high school, which was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Do you have any musical talent?
So I took piano for a bit, uh-huh. and I was actually in a little youth group cover band for a while as this one of the singers.
That's really funny because I've heard of youth group bands. I've never heard of youth group cover bands.
Oh, yeah.
What do you cover? Toby Mac? Like, what do you do?
No. Okay. Me and my friend, Emily, she's one of my best friends that I still am BFFs with today. I've known her. My parents knew each other. Her parents and my parents knew each other. Yeah. And so we were both the singers, and we would perform every week for youth group, obviously, and do, like, some of the, you know, like, standard worship songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But we would also do, like, other songs. And so we would have to bargain with the guys who were playing, like, did the instruments. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to sing Pressing On by Relying K, okay?
Right.
And they were just like, oh, we don't want to play that. And we're just like, well, we want to sing that. And they're like, well, if you sing Chop Suey by System of a Down, then we'll play Pressing On by Relying K.
Okay.
And so, yeah,
Chop
we did
Suey,
that.
My favorite Christian song of all time.
Yes.
But
so it was like a youth group band, but it was also, I don't know what it even was.
That's, well, yeah, because that's just a shitty band. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's because,
I had no
because
idea.
If you're doing regular music, that's just a shitty band.
Dude, there's a recording of us singing that song that lives in her parents' basement and will live there forever.
Yeah. Oh, man. So,
yeah, it was.
Well, I can't wait till you get famous, because that's the way we're gonna cancel you.
Oh yeah.
Chop technically, Suey. She did nothing wrong, but listen to this tape, and you would think otherwise.
Yes. However, we got our way, and we got to sing "Pressing On." So
yeah,
we went.
Well, I love that you wanted to sing "Pressing On" and not, like, Super Chick or Barlow Girl. Like,
oh my
the
God.
Amount of and I'm gonna get really into Christian lore right now for the listener, but, you know, if you grew up like this, you're about to have a great time. You'll know what I'm talking about. But, like, the amount of times that I had to listen to that Barlow Girl song where someone had, like, an interpretive dance or something, or, like, you know, Ninja Jesus or something was in it. It's like, who's that girl in the mirror? Or, like, whatever that song is. Like,
oh my word.
They all sound the same. Like, let's be honest. Like, it's something about, like, raindrops, like, falling on your, I keep thinking
raindrops falling on your head.
Yeah, well, that, and then raindrops on your skin, and that's Natasha Bedingfield, right? Feel the rain on your skin. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, it's not that, but it's also that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's like the tropes.
It's that, but if it were Evanescence, which is, like, weird, I don't know. It's, like, it's a weird thing to think. But the amount of, like, times that I had to, like, go through that, or, like, worship bands, like, you know, doing altar calls to, like, Strong Tower by Cutlass and, like, things like that.
Oh my gosh.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could go without it for quite a while, actually. But you, I mean, We're probably around the same age, right? Like, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I just turned 36. So okay. I was born in 87.
We are the same. We're literally the same age. Like, I'm about to turn 36. Yeah, so we're literally around the same age. So you know what I'm talking about when I mean, like, you know, the amount of times that, like for example, there's, and I'll explain it for people who don't know, there was an artist, let's just call him that. There was an artist in the 90s who was very popular. His name was Carmen. And you remember Carmen? And this dude, people would say, oh, like, what's your favorite Carmen song? And like, Carmen doesn't sing. He just talks. Like, much like how we're talking on this podcast, he's just talking to a beat. And that's all he's doing. It's like a 9-minute sermon is what it is. Like, it's not really a song, you know? And like, oh my gosh, man. And like, that dude, I've said it before, but it was so long ago on the podcast, but like, he looks like he sells real estate exclusively to pizzerias. Like, he's a very specific looking Papa John's looking guy. Like, and
I was gonna say, he's like a Wish version of a mix between the Papa John's guy and Mel Gibson.
Yeah, yeah. and somehow isn't the one that got in trouble for racism, which is weird. Really, huh? Weird. Yeah, it's weird that he swerved that and they didn't. Because, like, you would think of all people, I mean, not of all people, but, like, you know, unfortunately, like, the thing is, like, with a lot of Christian artists, it just doesn't end up well for a lot of them. You just find out, that guy that wrote that cartoon song for little kids actually really liked kids. And that's, like, the problem, you know? And it's like, but then again, it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna be famous for writing a song about how cartoons say hallelujah, people don't know what I'm talking about. There was a song.
Look it up.
There was a song called the Cartoon Song by Chris Rice, okay? And when we were kids, oh my gosh, this was the best thing ever, because we could admit to our Christian families that we knew what cartoons were. And it was so great. Yeah, and so the whole thing was just this guy who would sing about, well, you know, what if cartoons got saved and they all went to heaven, right? Which is a fun concept, I guess. And he's like, oh, well, what would they sing in heaven, you know? And then he does an impression of different cartoon characters. So he'll be like, oh, like, Fred Flintstone wouldn't just say hallelujah, he would say yabba dabba do ya, you know? Or, you know, Ninja Turtles would say, like, you know, cowabungalooya. Like, and the whole song just goes shitty impression after shitty impression, just like that. And it's, what's really wild is that there's a part of it where he goes, how about Beavis and that other guy? Because he can't say butthead, right? And then they go, nah. And right. And that's, nah. And it's so funny because in the song, he does it live and the crowd goes nuts because the whole thing is that those motherfuckers aren't getting into heaven. What are you, an idiot? Like, of course they're not. Beavis and Butthead would never get saved. You fucking loser. They would never get saved. It's so funny to think about it because it's a religion that's about forgiveness. And you are like, Beavis and the.
Oh, this guy.
Never gonna get it to heaven.
It's everyone else except for him.
Yeah, everyone else that is definitely a Christian. Like the Smurfs who practice witchcraft, and that's the reason why I couldn't watch the show. They're gonna get into heaven. But but not Beavis and Butthead. Gosh. Could you imagine could you imagine if that was rebooted today?
I was just gonna say that, like, the one that wasn't allowed in heaven be like Harry Potter or something?
No, it would probably be like, this is what I think. I think, you know, it would be like, you know, I was thinking the other day, what if Game of Thrones got saved? Like, it'd be something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like nothing, will ya? Like, just some stupid bullshit like that. You know, like, just like, I was thinking the other day, what if everyone from The Office got saved? Like, that's what she said, Luya. Like, it's the same, just bullshit. Yeah. Like, just, and then And then the one that wouldn't get it to heaven is Lil Nas X. Let's be honest.
Oh my god.
Like, it would be like, they totally would do Lil that. Nas X? No.
Nah.
No. What's he going to say? I'm pole dancing for Satan, Luya. Like, oh, he wouldn't say that. Like,
oh my
god. So, yeah, like, it's what a wild time to be alive, man. It's just
yeah, the 2000s were something else.
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like, and I don't know how deep, were you deep into the Christianity?
Oh, yeah, I had a whole book about, okay, I had a book that was called Dateable, and it was all about how to date as a Christian. And
yeah, I've heard many stories about this.
Yeah, it had
you to talk about it, yeah.
Oh yeah, it had like the car analogy where it's like, okay, if you're dating somebody and you like kiss or something, that's like sitting in the car or something. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, if you go to like third base, it's like spilling something on the seat. And then it was like, if you actually have sex, then it's just like ravaging the car, like driving it all over the place like crazy and crashing into curbs and stuff. And it's like, nobody wants to buy a wrecked car. So why would anyone want to marry you if you've had sex? You know, like that whole thing.
Nobody wants to buy a used car. Why would somebody want to buy you if you wrecked your pussy?
I'm just like okay.
The worst possible analogy.
Like, I think I've only ever bought used cars. Like, right. You know?
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, it's true though. Like, it's a weird analogy because I understand it, but it's also not like a gotcha thing. Like, it's like, I get what you're doing, but it's also not a flawless metaphor.
Well, it's like they don't tell you how to be responsible and stuff. It's like, okay, no, don't go sleeping around with everyone you see because you could get a disease, you could get pregnant, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You could get pregnant and die, you know?
They
go that whole route where it's like, don't ever do anything or else you're not going to be worth being with, you know? Like, you're all used up kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel, you know, now that I've gotten older and it's sure there's a lot of fun that came from it, but like this part of Christianity, I hold a lot of empathy for the opposite sex because it wasn't quite what it was for men. Like, sure, like, you know, if men had premarital sex and someone heard about it in the church, it wasn't like high fives all around, but it certainly wasn't like someone needing to feel like they should end their life because they feel completely worthless, you know?
Right.
And like, I feel like that was more the female experience in that scenario, which is a real bummer. You know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so one of the things that I think I've mentioned, like, I'll mention it to, like, people, like, randomly and stuff, but, like, I think one of the most pivotal sort of weird experiences with that was, there was, I think I was a freshman, so about 14, and we were in, like, the freshman girls Sunday school group, and they had us cut out a heart from paper, and they were like, okay. This is, you probably know where it's going, but they were like, this is your heart right now. So like, okay, I want you to take your little paper heart. And every time that you know that you've given your heart to somebody, in quotes, I want you to rip a little piece of it off. And I was just like, okay, well, I've never had a boyfriend. I've never like, you know, done anything. Like, I didn't have a boyfriend until I was, I think, 17 or so. Mm-hmm. So I was still like, I was like, fresh out of childhood, like not really wanting to grow up, but I was like, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind a boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
But and they were just like, okay, so if you dated somebody, blah blah blah, if anything has taken the place of God, whether it's like a crush, if it's like a real person, if it's like a celebrity that you're thinking about instead of God or something, like if you're just like, oh, this person, I like this person's cute.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Rip a piece of paper out.
Right. Well, God is my favorite celebrity, so
I know,
clearly,
right?
Yeah.
if only I had a crush on Jesus, you know, like, what would they say to that? Be like, oh, I'm
would explain
about...
why it would explain why they make him look so hot.
I know. They're like, they got those AI Jesus things.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah, it would, so it explains why they made him word. White, you know, like, because this is the Jesus you're supposed to have a crush on.
Right. It's like, you got to date Jesus.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they had us rip off these pieces of paper. I'm just like, oh, I've had, you know, I watched this movie and I was like, oh, he's cute. I guess I'll rip a piece of paper off. Like, oh, I have a crush on this guy at youth group. I'll rip a piece of paper off. And then they're like, okay, now hold up the remainder.
Crush, dude, that's, I wouldn't dude, have anything left.
It's, well, that's the thing. They
were have feelings. What are you talking about?
And like, of course, they don't tell you like what's the difference between like, oh, aesthetic attraction and like this, whatever. But they told us to hold up our little pieces of paper and they're like, okay, so what you've got left, this is what you have left to give your husband.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I have a mangled paper here, so that's really awesome.
There's a lot of activities that youth groups made to do with a piece of paper. Like, I remember write down all of your worst things that's happened in your life, and we got two pieces of plywood from Home Depot and made a really shitty cross for you to nail it on. And
oh
so,
my gosh!
Yeah, did you never do that?
No. Not that exact thing.
I would have thought your church was really into it, considering the heart thing. But
well, if they knew about it, I'm sure they would have been cool with it.
Yeah. Well, it was so essentially you would just write down like, which every dude was just like, I masturbate a lot, you know,
oh,
and like things like that. And you would just fold it up, and then you could, or you could leave it out in the open if you wanted everyone to know your business.
Oh my gosh!
And you would nail it onto a cross while Dare You to Move by Switchfoot played, because of course. And...
Oh yes, that's another band that we covered in my lovely awesome band.
Yeah, sure. What kind of a kid would you say that you were growing up? I mean, obviously you grew up a Christian kid, but like, who did you sit with at the lunch table? Like that kind of thing when you were at school.
So, okay. So a fun fact, I was homeschooled from 4th grade to 11th grade. And
okay.
I went to public school before that. And then from 11th to 12th after that.
Yikes.
But I was always a kind of a goody two shoes child.
Sure.
It's not like crazy exciting or anything, but no, I always liked structure, and I always, but I did have like a sneaky side. Like if I wanted to do something, I would find a way to do it. Mm. Like I never, like even when I went to public school though, like I was too, like I didn't experience like part, like drinking or any sort of substance while I was in school or anything like that. But I was also kind of a goody two shoes. I didn't want to like rock the boat or anything, you know, not overtly anyway. Yeah. But when I was in high school, when I went to school, I thought that I was going to be the president of the Bible club, you know, I'm just like, I'm going to be in high school and I'm going to be like a good influence and blah, blah, blah. And, then I realized that all my friends were in literary club, which was it went on at the same time as Bible club. And so I auditioned Bible club for literary club.
Sure.
And
better decision.
Yeah. It was more like, I guess I would say that I sat with people like, I guess you would call, I don't know, like hashtag, oh my gosh, like quote unquote nerds or like kind of goth leaning alternative-y sort of people.
Sure.
Cause that's kind of, I always kind of leaned into that sort of culture, I guess. I don't know,
yeah,
like
the
Christian version. I found that they were like the nicest people there. Like they were like, they didn't like judge me for anything. Like they didn't care that I had been to was in the Bible club or anything. Like, I don't know. They just didn't, they weren't like as judgy, I guess, as other people were. And they were all super cool. And like, I still talk to some of them today, like via like on Facebook, I guess, and stuff, Instagram and everything. But so I guess you would say that's who I sat with at lunch, was like the quote unquote nerd gothy sort of people.
It's funny. I was just thinking about this as you were saying this. Is it possible that nerds and goths and alt kids are judgy, but they're just judgy in a different way?
Yes.
Because I think that they are judgy, but they're not judgy about outward things like jocks and, you know, it's cheerleaders different. Are like, you know, if you don't have this specific body or you don't play this specific sport or you don't freaking lift or whatever, like you can't talk to me. But then goths are like, look, you can be any sexual orientation, any race, anything. You can like just, I mean, so many things. But if you are a crappy person in my, at least by my definition of what I think is crappy, then I will shun you, which like is kind of the way to be a person, I guess. But
yeah, I'm not afraid to admit that I do that, like, you know.
Yeah, I think everybody does. At the end of the day, we all judge people. Like, that's just unfortunate. It's what happens, you know, but like, that's what it is. Like, and everybody, you know, everybody wants to put somebody in a box. And that's kind of the thing that's annoying, because not everybody fits into a box. You know, some people do, but not everybody. You know, especially not someone who's an artist or, you know, is, you know, a on the performing side or anything, fits into a perfect square peg. You know, it's very like, it's just very different, you know. So I mean it's why I don't believe in like the Enneagram stuff or like any of that stuff, because like it's just like, I feel like it's a way for mostly women to judge other people, to be like, oh, like you're a Gryffindor, we would never get along. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
I haven't seen it, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's like, that's like totally such a seven or it's thing to say. Like, that's like such an Enneagram 4 thing to say. Like, no, it's not. Like, it's just a thing that you say. And like, sometimes, you know, yes, there are certain traits that people have, but like, a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with like what day you were born or like things like that. It's like, sometimes people get mad. And that's just what it is. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, you know.
I think it's good to, like, I don't think people should base their entire existence off of that stuff. I think the only, like, okay, if you're using it to try and sort of flesh out, like, why maybe you do things you do, I guess maybe that would be a better job for, like, a therapist than, like, a star chart, but.
No, which it's is like, great. We're actually going to go into our sponsor, BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com/childlike.
Excellent.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think people are multifaceted, and I think that a lot of people would like it to be as simple as I'm this, so this is why I do this.
Right.
But really, it's not. There are so many factors that go into all that stuff.
Right.
Like why you do what you do. It's like, it's just not black and white. Like, barely anything is black and white.
Right. Which is weird, because goths only wear black and white.
I know. But anyway, strange.
They only wear black and they're mostly white. But. they're either white or Latino. Like, that's kind of the thing, because Latinos are real emo. I didn't know if you knew that, but I found that out relatively recently, like maybe 10 years ago. I was like, whoa, Latinos are like really into Morrissey. This is wild. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a real weird thing. I want to kind of pivot into something more kind of like just like fun and childhoody, more nostalgia-y. What were your favorite snacks growing up?
Oh, okay. So let me think, because we did not have a lot of name brand items in my household. So
not only were you Christian, you were poor.
Yeah. You know,
I grew up the same way, which is awesome. Like I grew up very, very religious and very like, not, I wouldn't say poor. Like we weren't like we were just, we were fine. You know what I mean? Like, but like we, like money was a concern, but it wasn't like, you know, we were going to live on the street anytime soon, you know?
Yeah. That's basically how we were. Like, for special occasions, we would get some things. Like my dad would, because he worked at the supermarket, a supermarket. And so like every once in a while, he would bring home some stuff that was like super special and everything. Like I remember one time he brought home, because my favorite Disney movie was always The Lion King.
Yeah.
And one time he brought home this cereal. It was like Cocoa Puffs with like little marshmallows that looked like, like bugs. It was called Mud and Bugs.
Girl, you're on the right podcast.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's one of my holy grail cereals. It really is.
Oh my gosh.
I love that cereal.
It was so good. So good. So another thing, another fun fact is I'm a huge pack rat nostalgia person. So I still have the box from that in the basement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, you're talking to someone who has boxes above their bed frame right now. So,
oh my gosh, that makes me feel like less of a crazy person, because I have a whole like tub in the basement of like childhood items and stuff, and like that's one of the things, because it was so special. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I've never had this before. I'll probably never have it again. Mm-hmm. So I stored like all of my like Lion King items in the box and stuff.
Man, I'm trying to remember when that came out, because I don't remember. It was well after The Lion King, but could it have possibly been to promote the straight to VHS sequel?
I think it might have been, because
I remember
that very well.
Do you have other cereals that you were into growing up?
Oh man, so my parents were both. They always talked about how they had a lot of cavities and stuff. Mm. So for a really long time, we were not allowed to have a lot of things with sugar in them.
Mm.
And so like our like basic cereals at home were like Cheerios and like Corn Flakes and Bran Flakes and like Raisin Bran and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like every once in a while we would get Kix.
Yeah. Nice.
And my mom would get so mad, because she's just like, oh my gosh, this is just like balls of air. Like, there's nothing even to this. And I'm like, I know, but it has sugar in it, so it tastes good.
Donald Glover has a great joke about it, where he's like, it's the hand job of cereals. Because you're like, this is good, but like, you know what I really want? You know, like.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like it's true though, because like it's a little sweet, like it's like enough, but it's not a Cocoa Puff, you know?
Yeah,
it's not.
I never had Cocoa Puffs though, so I was like, this is great,
man. You know? Oh my gosh, yeah. And it goes back to the Christian music thing. Like I always say, look, Petra's good if you've never heard of Journey, you know? Like,
yeah. It's,
and like, you know, freaking what's her face, Rebecca St. James is great if you've never heard of Alanis Morissette. Like these are all great things, but like, yeah, it's a wild thing for sure, because yeah, if you've never had Cocoa Puffs, I'm sure it must have been tough to go back to Cheerios and Bran Flakes after having Mud and Bugs, right?
Yeah, it's like we would add, so like the Cheerios, we would end up adding like cinnamon and sugar to the top,
of course,
or whatever, because you know, a little sprig of sugar, a little crumb.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. For sure. I love that. Well, every episode of this podcast, I like to have a box of cereal with my guest. And I like to pick a cereal that has something to do with my guest in some way, shape, or form. So I chose a perfect cereal for you. I spoke with my sponsors over at Kellogg's, and they told me to stop masturbating. And after they said that, they told me to never email them again because they are not going to sponsor the show. So I went ahead and bought the cereal. No, I'm kidding. But I bought, so where, for the listener and for the viewer, this is coming out after Halloween, but we're actually in the spooky season. So I believe this comes out the week after October 31st, but I got this cereal. And as we know, as good Christian kids, we do not celebrate Halloween because it is the devil's birthday. So we have very specific things that we do on Halloween, and one of those is that we have a tradition of watching It's a Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
I have seen that. Yes. We were a Charlie Brown family.
Of course. Why wouldn't you be?
Obviously.
Like, you were a Charlie Brown family. And they made a cereal because VeggieTales isn't famous enough to have their own cereal. So,
oh my gosh.
Could you imagine? It would be the worst cereal of all time.
I would have eaten that up.
It would have honestly probably been the same as this cereal, just green and like red balls.
Purple. I would say purple and yellow, like Larry Boy cereal.
Sure.
Purple and yellow. Purple and green. Gosh.
That works. Yeah, purple and green. And, well, yellow as well could work. Yeah. Yellow could be like the marshmallows.
So I guess you could do red because of, you know, Bob's there too.
General Mills, get us on the phone. We are making VeggieTales Larry Boy cereal for you for free.
We'll make you rich.
Yeah, we'll make you $1 million. Say what you want about Christians, but they buy everything in the store if it's for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Christians will buy the cereal just because it's made for them. A Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. It is a vanilla flavored cereal, which I found kind of weird. Mostly because I have seen a lot of cereals this season get the pumpkin spice flavor treatment. Now,
interesting.
I'm okay with pumpkin spice. I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. But I think I'm not in the minority when I say, can you please get pumpkin spice out of my cereal? Like, I don't think it's a cereal flavor I need, you know?
It's odd, especially because I feel like the thing, because I don't know, I'm kind of a pumpkin. I can be a pumpkin snob. I think if you have nutmeg in there, it wrecks it.
Yeah.
Like, if there's too much nutmeg, like, okay, my pumpkin pie of choice is on the back of the Libby's can, and it's like cinnamon, ginger, cloves. There's no nutmeg in there.
Yeah.
The nutmeg just overtakes everything. And if anything says pumpkin spice, it always just tastes like nutmeg and a tiny bit of pumpkin. So,
yeah. It's the, it's the kale of seasoning.
Yeah. There's improvements that could be made there.
Yeah. Like, it's really, man, it's just a weird flavor that, like, I mean, I was going to ask you this, but I'll ask you this after we talk about the cereal, but I'm going to show you the back here. It celebrates, it says celebrate Halloween, which we're going to change that to celebrate harvest Charlie Brown and friends. Yeah, we didn't call it Halloween. We called it harvest, and we didn't go trick or treating. We got candy from other people at church. Yes. So
unless your parents were concerned about cavities, then you got like mini Hershey's.
Yes. Then you got a popcorn ball. Yeah. You get popcorn balls, or you would get like pretzel bites or something. Yeah. So it just has all the characters here, and it's like saying, I'm trying to get the glare out. But it has all the characters here, and there's the iconic, you know, I got a rock, you know, thing, which is great. One of the reasons why I chose this for you was because I think it would be awesome if you did a Charlie Brown cosplay.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah. If you did, like, if you did Lucy, like, as the witch or something.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be very fun.
That would be so fun. Yeah.
Homage to the childhood, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And that's why I thought of this for you. I was like, man, I feel like, well, for one, it's Halloween season and I wanted to do something in that vein, but also, you know, it's, you know, I know you grew up very religious like I did. So like, you know, Charlie Brown was the square peg that could fit into our pop culture that fit into everyone else's as well. But yeah, it's weird that, you know, cause usually, as we remember as kids, cereal would come with a prize inside. And I've noticed that cereal is more geared towards millennials now. It's not really geared towards children because millennials are the ones that buy cereal because they remember cereal commercials and things like that. And it's really more predicated to that, which is why, like, you know, Magic Spoon exists and like all these things, they're not really catering to kids. I mean, the thing that's catering to kids is the tried and trues that have always been there since the beginning. And I knew that this was the case, especially with this cereal, because the prize for this cereal is 1 month of Apple TV.
Could they be more transparent? My gosh.
Get 1 free month of Apple TV Plus. That is your prize for buying this cereal. Like, what?
That's hilarious. Oh,
what
my gosh.
What kind of a prize? Like, that's crazy. That's like being like, I'll put it into perspective. If you're a kid, that's like getting a prize that's like, here's 20% off the Cocomelon merch store. You know, like, like, can you imagine? Like, it's like, that would never be the prize. You know, like, what I mean?
Like, a whole month?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. They're just, honestly, Apple TV Plus is just giving it away. And I get it, because it's bad. But let's be honest, like, you know, I'm not on the studio side, plus I'm on a strike as an actor, so I shouldn't be talking about them, but you know, I make my mistakes. But don't support them unless they're giving you a free trial, which usually they probably are because they're begging people to watch their stuff. So but I wanted to ask you, you know, because you do cosplay stuff, and then I was like, man, it would be really fun if there was like if you had like an April Gloria cereal, what would it be?
Oh my gosh. Oh man, I don't know how exciting it would be, because I kind of like a lot of basic flavors, like,
sure.
So
not pumpkin spice.
Probably not. Just
I immediately,
you know,
like it.
I'm saving that for the pie, you know, like the actual pie. You know,
well, that's where you need to put pumpkin spice is in pie. That's what it was made for.
Exactly. So like for cereal, I'd probably go a little bit more mild.
Sure.
I suppose. So I could see going either way. Like I could see going just like plain old like chocolate sort of almost like a Mud and Bugs kind of thing, but like
I was gonna say, you want to just steal Mud and Bugs?
That's, you know,
just slap an April Gloria sticker on it.
Because like, I feel like people knock people for liking basic flavors, but in my opinion, you know,
they're basic for a reason, though, right?
I can taste the flavors of. I don't always want to taste like 20,000 flavors at the same time.
Yeah,
you know. It just means like I can fully appreciate this one chocolate thing.
Yes.
Right now. Okay. I don't need like chocolate, caramel, peanut butter, you know, whatever else, every 10,000 billion flavors. And a lot of people like that, but that's fine. Like I'll have that. But my favorite is always just like a basic kind of thing. So I would say probably just like a Dunkin' Donuts Munchkin, just like chocolate glazed, is like my favorite donut ever. Like that's like,
you and I are,
you know,
spirits.
Yes,
I agree.
Excellent.
I agree.
So yeah, something like that, like a almost like a chocolate cake donut flavor thing, like chocolate with like a little like vanilla sort of thingy around.
Well,
it
that actually leads into one of my other holy grail cereals, which is Cap'n Crunch Choco Donuts.
I have never had that. I mean, believe Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, it's from it's from like 2015 or 16 or something. It was very limited, but it's exactly what you're saying. Like, it's like little. They look like mini munchkins, of course, and then they're they have the glaze, and then there's like little sprinkles on them as well too.
Oh my gosh.
It's a very great cereal. I love Cap'n Crunch. They're the only cereal brand that's ever actually sponsored my show, so I have nothing but good things to say for them. But
so Case will be happy about that. He introduced me to, because his favorite cereal was always like Crunch Berries.
Sure.
I know he said he's liked the Rice Krispie Crunch or
Rice Krispie Treats.
Yes, Rice Krispie Treats cereal.
Yeah,
but
they don't make that anymore. Those cowards aren't going to make it.
I know. But in college, we would always buy the Crunch Berry cereal, sometimes the off-brand, because we were college students.
Okay.
And you could get a giant bag of off-brand Crunch Berries for pretty cheap.
They're called Kernel Berries.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you're on the only podcast where I'm the only person who knows every cereal that's ever existed.
Yep. Oh man. I was going to say, because I know there are a couple different off-brands. But yeah, so we would eat that, and I had never had anything like, I mean, I had, you know, the Mud and Bugs and stuff, but like, I didn't eat that like regularly. And I was like, oh my gosh, you eat this just like all the time?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Crunch Berries are a classic, man. I mean,
they're good. I remember being like, oh my gosh, a whole world is opened up.
It's, you know, what's so funny. The older we get, we start to realize that we're all still kids with Spirit Halloween adult costumes on. You know what I mean?
Like, playing as an adult.
Yeah, like it's like we are yeah, to use your term, we are cosplaying as an adult, you know. In fact, that's a great episode title. That's what we're cosplaying as an adult. That's what we're doing, like, because it's we're so far from what we know is the right thing to do, you know, like we're only doing, which is kind of like, you know, I try, like, the older I get, to like give my family some slack and things like that, because like they're just good people trying to like protect their kid, you know.
Yeah.
And like, there's only so much you can do, you know, when it comes to like resenting your parents where you grew up and like all this stuff. But because, like, you know, a lot of this, and I'm sure you're a part of it, and not a part of it, but you know about it, a lot of this like ex-evangelical type of thing has kind of become, in a way, a little bit annoying, where it's like, dude, almost becoming its own religion, you know, where
it's like they become just as insufferable as the evangelicals, but just, you know, playing for a different team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's literally like what it is. It's
you
very
still have an ideology. Like, you're still like, you got this. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and I mean, they still have those like metaphors that mean nothing. You know, like, for example, I recently saw this clip. Somebody, it was Michael Gunger, which, like, love him, he's great, love his music and all this stuff, and he's you know, an all-around pretty smart guy. But I just didn't really agree with this metaphor that he was talking about. It's a little bit too hippy-dippy for me, but he was like, you know, when I was growing up, I was a Christian, and they told me that this bottle of water was the right bottle of water, and then as I grew up and I started living my life, I realized that there's other bottles of water, right? There's Judaism, there is Catholicism, there is, you know, Buddhism, you know, all these different things, and like, there's so many different bottles of water, so how do I know which bottle of water is the right bottle of water, because they're all just bottles of water. And to that, I would say that the metaphor is bad, because the answer is that God is the water. Like,
yeah,
that's the answer.
It's the bottle.
Yeah, different. It's not the bottle. It's not about the bottle, it's about the water, you know. And that God can be whatever God you want it to be, but I'm just saying, like, that what's important is what's in the bottle, not the bottle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so funny because we were talking about how, like, Christians have these, like, crazy metaphors, and they have these, like, you know, parody t-shirts of, like, you know, like, I follow Jesus on Facebook, and, like, you know, catch up with Jesus, and it looks like the Heinz 57 bottle, and, like, all this bullshit, right? And, like, now the evangelicals are doing the same thing. Like, they're gonna come out with a shirt that says, my favorite cross-dresser is Jesus. Like, it'll
oh
be, like,
my word. You know,
something
dude,
like that.
There's... Yeah. I don't follow a lot of, like, the evangelical people on Instagram or anything, but, like, Casey does because of, like, they follow them on the podcast page. And so every once in a while, he'll read me a caption, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's like, you could just switch a couple words, and it could be a Christian caption. Like,
right. Well, it's literally the reverse of the South Park joke, where South Park was talking about how Christian songs just put Jesus instead of baby in all their songs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
my limited
very accurate
experience.
It's very accurate. Yeah. Yeah, it's
I've
very
seen that
accurate.
One.
But it is the reverse, where it's just like, now it's just like we're putting baby back in all the Jesus songs. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean? So now Oceans is about a girl and her our relationship with her, as opposed to Jesus, you know, or like whatever, you know. Like, really, Oceans is about sex when you think about it, dude.
Yeah,
like, he called me into the water, she's a freaking squirter, dude. Like, okay, man, like, whatever, dude. Like, what do you want?
Have fun with your urine, that's fine.
Yeah, like, it's just. Yeah, it's wild, man. I don't know.
It's so funny.
Going back to your husband's podcast, where, like, they've been doing a lot of these, like, Bible story things, and it's really awesome because it's very it takes a lot of what I didn't know and gives it more context. You know, like when I did the Samson thing with them, I was like, oh, like, I didn't know a lot of this. Like, mostly I just know, like, half of this story. Like, I didn't know he was, like, not a good person, really. You know?
I know. It's like they don't play that to you.
Yeah. And, like, and I mean, to be fair, like, you can argue that, like, it's a good story because he's not a good person. And, like, it basically is, like, it's a story where God used a person for what their purpose was, and we found out what their purpose was, but doesn't mean that they weren't a bad person. Like, it's like that, it's the Game of Thrones theory. Like,
yeah, it's like
everybody's
no
capable of doing
the
best and the worst thing at the same time. Like, it's you know, that's just what it is. And and so it's a wild thing. Like, you know, like, for example, I recently, like, a joke that I wrote recently was, like, you know, when we were kids, we would sing a lot of Bible songs, like this one, like, Father Abraham had many sons.
Yeah.
Most of them were sexual assault. I am one of them, and so are you. And so, like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, you guys didn't go to a church that was biblically and historically accurate? Whoops.
Whoopsie.
Right arm.
Oh my god.
It's so dumb. Like,
I was gonna say, it's like the story of Esther, because they had me on to talk about Esther, and I'm just like, she was like a child bride that was like forced. Like, it was just like an insane story. Like, you never really got that aspect of it. You're just like, oh, well, you know, people got married when they were 12 all the time, it's fine, whatever, who cares. And but so God chose her to be like this old man's child wife, and all this stuff. Like, there was just a bunch of things in there that I had never really thought about before.
Well, and not only that, like, you know, that story is really interesting too, because her purpose is awesome, Like, yeah. Like, the purpose of the story is awesome.
It was a very interesting story.
Like, yeah, the context of it is what's messed up. But, yeah. Like, but at the end of the day, like, you could say that about anybody. Like,
right.
Like, you're like, oh, like, that person's great. You know, kind of like, you know, like, my girlfriend says this all the time, where she's like, you know, any artist that has ever made anything of note ever, if they were still alive today, they would get canceled for something they did, because like it's like they just weren't good people. But it doesn't mean that what they did wasn't, like, their purpose wasn't worthwhile, you know what I mean? Like, the context of them isn't great, but their purpose was great, you know? Like, you know, a very like a touchy subject, for example, you know, no pun intended, but like Michael Jackson, you know, where it's like, it's something where you can argue that if those things did happen, which we don't know because we weren't in there, we have no idea. Okay. We don't know if those things happened, but if those things did happen, we can still all see the moonwalk and be like, that was cool. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like,
that's what it is.
Yeah, it's like, not everything is, you know, mutually exclusive. Like,
yeah, exactly. Pardon the brief interruption, besties, but me and my buddy Alf just wanted to talk to you about Childlike Wonder. Childlike Wonder is the official merchandise store of Mike Valdez and of Childlike at Best. As you can see here, there are some shirts with my face on them that say comedy's favorite cartoon, as well as the Viewmaster collection, which is one of my favorite designs that we have. You've seen me rock many a t-shirt from the Viewmaster collection. Another is some of the church merch that we have. We have a shirt that just says church camp. We also have a crew neck that says unspoken prayer request, because as good Christian kids, we all had those unspoken prayer requests that were definitely rumors about Stacy or whatever person we knew growing up in the church. I'm so excited about this collection, and I'm so excited to release it to all of the besties. So if you want to support the show or support me in any way, please just go to childlikewonder.co and grab yourself a tee or a crew neck and tag me on Instagram. I'll repost you. I'm super excited for you guys to get into this. So thank you guys for supporting, and thank you guys for being so incredibly amazing. Now back to the show. So you're doing great on social media, you know, as far as I know. and you know, I'm sure that you're doing cosplays, you know, cosplay stuff for different comic cons and things like that, but this is a world that I know nothing about. So other than like, oh, these are people that dress up, and sometimes they dress up really in a really cool thing that they made themselves, and it's something that I could never do. What is this world? I need to know more about it.
Oh yeah, so it's interesting because it is a lot different, I would say, than when I first started. Mm-hmm. I think I got in on, so like 2013, 14, 15. I think. It just, the culture is, it's always shifting, I guess. Yeah. And there's always things that are like things that a lot of people do, and then things that, you know, kind of go out a little bit. So for a while, I was doing a decent amount, I suppose, of what they call guesting, mm-hmm. which is where the convention says, hey, we would like you to come out. And if you're lucky, they'll pay you something, you know? Mm-hmm. I had to learn that, like, oh no, I need to ask for money for this because I'm going to be working all weekend. Wow, what a concept.
Yeah.
And then the conventions were just like, no, you should be honored that we're wanting you to work for us for free. Right. So you would basically go, and if you have a giant audience or you're lucky, you can set meet and greet hours. Say, I'm going to be here from 1 to 5 or whatever. But other than that, they want you there open to close, behind a booth, greeting people, doing signings. And what we would do a lot of times is we would have prints for sale, like a lot of the cosplay photos that we do. Like Casey and I guess for those who aren't familiar, my husband and I do, like I make the costume And then we like to do photo shoots for them, basically sort of like creating live fan art in a way. Like, I want a photo to kind of look, have the look that whatever the source material has in it. Like, if I'm doing a character from Skyrim, like whatever area that character comes from, I would like the scenery to match. So a lot of times we'll do like, I'll bring a costume on a road trip or something, or we'll plan a road trip around a costume, be like, oh, well, I want mountains and aspen trees, so we're going to go shoot this in Colorado area, like whatever area that we're going to. And so we would have the photos, and then I would print them out, and then people will buy them, and I will sign them in person, etc. I also do that online, but I only do that a couple times a year because it's like print sales online, at least in my realm, I guess, are not as big as they once were. Like a lot of, like 2015, 16 or so, like your main moneymaker was you sell signed prints online, you do conventions. Like that was like the formula. But nowadays it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, that's because people started selling their underwear. You got to
do. Right, exactly. Like,
you want Lara Croft's bra? Here, it's for $50. You can get Lara Croft's bra. Like,
here, want some dirty socks?
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people want dirty socks.
I mean, I've had people ask me for my shoes before, so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
So, I have to ask you this, probably just because I feel like I would get a lot of people watching this to be very upset that I didn't ask you this. At what point in your life did you say, people tell me all the time that I look like Taylor Swift, I'm just gonna lean in?
Oh my word. So it was like 2000, oh my gosh, when was it? 2017. So I think, oh, what, it was like Teen Vogue or like 17 or something like that. They messaged me because I had started wearing red lipstick a lot, and like I've been a fan of Taylor Swift for a long time. Sure. And she actually, like, there's parts of her that have helped me with like my self image in a way. Like, I always hated my hair color, which is like a dirty blonde. Yeah. My sister would tell me that it was ugly and all this stuff, and I always wanted really dark hair and really dark eyes. I thought that was the ticket, you know. And then people started kind of with the Taylor comparisons, and I'm just like, okay, she has like ashy hair, and you know, she looks good with that. And like, I always hated my eyebrow shape. I was like, I look angry all the time and stuff. I want straight brows like Daenerys.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so Taylor has these like angled brows and stuff. And I always wanted like really large upper lip. And I'm like, she has like kind of like a pointy sort of upper lip. And like, maybe that's like, like certain features, like, I'm not saying that I think that we're twins or anything, but I think certain features that she has helped me sort of embrace those on myself in a way. Yeah. So that was...
It helps when someone that looks like you in any way has a lot of notoriety. Because you can start to see, like, oh, like, they're just like me. You know, like I don't need to worry too much about little things like that.
Yeah, because I think it's easy for people to be like, well, this, people think this is attractive, this is what people think is attractive, and I don't have this, so there's something wrong with me. But then when you see someone that does have notoriety, that's like, okay, they have a couple features that are similar-ish, you know, to things that I've always felt weird about myself, so maybe, you know, it's not that bad or something. So yeah, that, I think, like, in a way that helped, in another way, it also, like, didn't help, because she's, like, six feet tall, and I have, like, a 20-inch inseam. I'm
just
okay, awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, for the most part, it was, like, it did help me in a couple ways. So that was about 2017 or so, and I did... Oh yeah, so the 17 article, like, you know, roundabout way, they emailed me and asked me if they could post an article about like some photos I had on Instagram of makeup that I'd done. And before I had a chance to reply, they had, like, the next morning they had already posted it. And then like five other things
to reply. I went to the I went to the grocery store, and it was in there.
It was so weird. Like, why even email me if you're just gonna do it anyway?
You're just gonna do it. Like, at least send me a check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I didn't get a dime from any of that stuff. And like you can't control what they say on there. Like, even if you give like a little interview thing, like, you don't control what they put out there.
Yeah, it's different. It's different though for online stuff.
Yeah.
Especially back then. You know, that's what a lot of what we're striking about is, like, you know, back then they're like, oh, you should be happy that, like, you're someone, you know, getting a 17 magazine thing on Instagram. Whereas, like, well, yeah, I am happy, but also I would like to get paid for it because you're, like, using my face and likeness, even though my face and likeness looks like someone else.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, you put it on the internet, so, you know, tough luck. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, but, you know.
Yeah, it's the Wild West.
It's so, like, weird.
That's the thing. Like, we need to have something, you know. You can't just, like, steal my stuff and say that it's yours. It's no different. I'll tell you this, like, it's no different than me making a joke and then someone making a really shitty meme and of the same exact joke that I made.
Yeah.
And I crafted, and someone getting a billion likes on something for something that I said.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fair, because I said that, like, that's my joke that I wrote, you know. And it's the same exact thing where it's like, those are my pictures from my profile, and you're putting them, you know, on a, sure, you're putting them on a bigger, you know, audience and stuff like that, but, like, it's still me, and I need to at least consent that I'm okay with you doing that. You know,
yeah, or like, let me read the article first and see what you're saying and stuff. And I don't know, because I got a lot of, like, I grew a lot during that time, but I had to deal with a lot of annoying people being like,
sure,
you know, assuming that they could, you know, because they see a couple pictures, they think that's my entire life, you know?
Right.
Like, oh, she's just trying to be Taylor Swift. She looks like the Wish version of Taylor. Oh my gosh. Like, all she wants to do is look like this or that. And I'm just like, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
It's
like, they didn't know what cosplay was, or like, they just didn't really get what was going on.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, and here's the thing, like, I've been having this thought recently, and I'm probably gonna post, like, a clip about it. And this might even be the clip, who knows? But I wanna post a clip about it where it's just like, I think haters are important. Like, I think that they're underrated in a lot of ways. I think they're important. Their words are not valuable, and they don't mean anything. But at the same time, it's kind of worth, for me, I like to have haters, and here's the reason why. Because, for one, sure, you might be texting how much you hate me and all this stuff, but guess what? That's engagement. So you are texting, you're commenting, growing my engagement, you're sharing it. Share it. Tell people how much you hate me. Share it. Growing my engagement. You are doing a whole bunch of stuff to only make me look better. So
it's like,
if you really hate me, ignore me. You know what I mean? But you're not.
It's true.
You're not ignoring me. So
you're giving me attention.
Yeah. So in fact, I like that because it gives me I'll show them energy. You know, it gives me a different kind of fire in my belly where I'm just like, I'm going to prove you wrong. You know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, and in a lot of ways, like, I feel bad for them because they don't realize that, like, no matter what they say, nothing feels better than a check clearing. And you are doing that for me, regardless of whether you say something nice or not. You know?
Yeah.
So, exactly. So in a weird way, you're helping me, but not like, so I will say, you know, for the listener of this podcast, to the besties, like, if you have haters, Because I've thought about this a lot, where I'm just like, you know, like, for example, like, if you have 13 views on a video of you singing, and 10 of those are dislikes, and you have 10 comments that are saying that you can't sing, chances are you probably aren't a good singer, right? It's not haters. They're just telling you that you can't sing, because you probably can't, you know? But if your algorithm is like, you have, like, let's say you have 13 views, you have 7 likes, and however many dislikes, because I'm bad at math, and then you have 10 comments about how great you are, and you have 4 comments that tell you to go kill yourself or whatever, you know, chances are you're a pretty good singer. You know what I mean? Like, that's just what it is. You know, that's like, you're gonna get it no matter what, because everybody thinks that they deserve what you have. And that could be anything. It could be anything. It could even be down to something as dumb as, like, the shape of your eyebrows, like you were talking about with Taylor, where, like, they are just envious of the shape of your eyebrows, and that's why they don't like you, because they wish that they had your freaking eyebrows or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
You know, something so dumb, you know, and it really has nothing to do with you. Though it feels like it has everything to do with you in the moment. It really has nothing. I'm preaching to the choir right now. Like, this is like, the amount of times I've had to read comments and things like that. Like, I mean, you know, I didn't think this is somewhere where we would talk about, but, like, you know, or that we would, something that we would talk about. But I feel like having those moments, because you had that moment, like, you've had it quite a few times, but especially with this Taylor Swift thing, and, you know, just telling me that story, you had, like, a viral moment in a way where you got to see a lot of people that were, like, the Swifties that were really into you, and they were like, oh my gosh, like, she's just like her, like, what are her tips, like, so I can do it, like, the person that you want, of course. But then you also have those people that are like, she's just trying to, you know, freaking ride the train. She's just, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And, like, and don't really care about the other stuff. You know, like, they just kind of, they see that post for what it is and think that's who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because even before that, like, you know, even with the cosplay stuff, I had gotten, like, I had, by that time, I had already been, you know, called every name in the book by, you know, gamer guys that, like, whenever you'd post something, they'd have something crappy to say about your costume, or that you don't look like the character enough, or whatever. A lot of times, because, you know, I am fueled by spite a lot of times, and I really enjoy...
So the altruism energy is something you...
I've been proving people wrong with screenshots, especially. Like, guys would come on. It was, like, mostly guys, honestly. Like, they'd come on and be like, oh, weird, they'd be like, oh, there's not enough dirt on your costume. Or, like, you need to hit the gym because your legs don't have muscle.
Hey, dude, eat dicks.
Yeah, like, so I would literally Google a screenshot of the character, and I know this is like, oh, if I'm giving them time, like, this is something I enjoy doing.
I
would Google a picture of the character that showed that the character has chicken legs, and I would post it and be like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't need to hit the gym. And plus, you can cosplay whatever you want, no matter what you look like, but whatever, you know, I just like proving
that's also proving
their point wrong.
Also, what you said is so true. You can be whatever you want. Who cares?
Yeah, like, there's no, like, rules about, like, oh, you can't.
That's the whole fun of what you're doing is. That's the whole fun of cosplay, is that you can, like, be, you can be Princess Buttercup and be a dude. Or you can do whatever you want. Like, you can you can be a bigger person, you can be a smaller person, you can be a different race. It has nothing to do with that. It's just about like expressing the love for the thing that you love. And that's
It's like, I want to make this outfit and I'm gonna make it, then that's it. And if you say anything about it, I'm gonna block you and be happy about it and then cash my check at the bank.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's that's the ultimate, the ultimate thing that I'm saying is, like, like, it's, you know, I say it on stage sometimes, where it's just like, you know, whenever like I'm having a show where like half of the crowd is into it and the other half isn't, like I'm like, you know, if you're not into this right now, like I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's me or if it's you, but you better strap in and figure something out because I already have your money. So
exactly.
Like
it's so funny. Like they think they're in control.
Yeah. Like, how are you in control if I have your money? You came to see me.
Like, you're paying me. You're following me. You're giving me attention. You're commenting.
Yeah.
So who's the real winner here?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I mean, and the answer is we're both losers. You know what I mean? Like, just in different ways. Just in different ways. But, like, that's what it is. You know?
It's just what I tell myself so I can sleep at night.
So I want to ask you these last couple of questions here. If you were to give advice to your younger self right now, like you went into a time machine and you met your younger self, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I guess it depends on, I guess it would be my teenage self, because that's the one that had most of the problems.
you can choose any version of yourself at all. Any version of yourself that defines, I think any version of yourself that defines who you are now is how you see yourself. Because that person can be 6, that person can be 12, it can be 14, they can be whatever. But that is the version of you that you need to channel every once in a while to remind yourself if you're in the right place, if they would be proud of you, like that kind of thing. So
I would say I would probably be talking to my teenage, like, you know, 14 to 16 first. Like, I probably have a lot of things to say about about multiple stages of life, but I would probably tell my, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old self to be better about investing in other people instead of trying to wait for them to come to you. Because I was very shy. I've always been a shy person. I'm still kind of a shy person in a way. And I was always kind of a quiet person, more low key sort of. I wasn't like, I always wished that I, you know, it's me and Casey, you've seen how Casey is. Like, I've always wished that were me. Like, I've always wanted to be the boisterous, you know, jolly sort of, you know, universally well-liked sort of person, but I was always sort of a more shy person. And I wouldn't make the first move a lot of times with friends, and I would not, you know, make them, like, I would probably try and focus on making my friends feel valued rather than waiting for them to come to me, I guess. Yeah. I don't really know how to explain that.
You're actually making so much sense. You're making so much sense. And I feel like that is such an important thing. That's really important advice just in general, you know, is to kind of keep yourself open and to treat, you know, just remember that, like, you know, my parents, especially my mom, she tells me all the time, she's like, there's two sides to every phone call. Just because somebody isn't calling you doesn't mean that you shouldn't call them. You know, so it's, if you're really somebody's friend, or if you really want to be somebody's friend, you should, you know, put yourself out there. The thing is, it's scary to put yourself out there because it's vulnerable.
Right. And then if they don't respond the way that you think, you're just like, oh no, do they not like me anymore? Like,
exactly.
I always had kind of trouble making friends. Like, I always had friends, but I always kind of worried that I was the, you know, the third wheel in a lot of senses. And so I would start making a lot of assumptions about how other people felt about me. And so I would just be like, well, they don't want to hear from me because they have, you know, each other, and it's just whatever. And even now I have to sort of consciously be like, no. Okay. They might be thinking the same thing about me. Like, they're like, oh, she's too busy to respond. Maybe I won't text her or something like that. Even though I'm just like, oh no, they're not texting me. Do they not care about me anymore? You know,
right.
Even though I know they do. So it's kind of like, just have to remember that friendship is a two-way street. And like, you gotta put things into it in order, and, you know, to make them feel important too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about people making you feel important. Like, you should be making others feel important.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a two-way street. Yeah, that's the way it is. And what do you think that teenage version of who you were, like the 14 to 16 year old person, if they met you and you were giving them advice and they were like, look, this is what life is going to be like in the future, do you think that person would like you? Do you think that person would think that you're cool? You know, would that person would they be impressed by you, that kind of thing?
I think they, like, not to be a full narcissist or anything, right, but I think they would, because my teenage self wanted to be famous so bad. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a guitar player. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be an actress at one point as well. Mm-hmm. There was a time where I used to beg my mom to drive me to New York for auditions. And she was like,
so
no, absolutely not.
What you're trying to say is you wanted to be Taylor Swift.
Basically, before I even knew who she was, because I'm, you know, old. So, I mean, we're the same age.
Yeah, we are.
She didn't have her album until 2006, but mm-hmm. like, I was just like, for some reason, I thought people wanted to hear what I had to say. And I'm just like, I'm going to start. Like, I was like, I'm going to major in music in college, even though I was super into like the more like sciencey sort of like nerdy stuff growing up. When I was a later teenager, I was like, no. I'm going to be a singer in like a emo band or something like that. Sure. And so I think I would be excited to find out that maybe I have a crumb of notoriety in the world.
Sure.
Even though, you know, in the, like, you know, the little pond, little cosplay pond. So I think I would be impressed, and I would probably be happy that I found a partner.
Yeah, that you found a husband
that
you
I were able to a husband were, that I've been with for like 14 years. So
you're able to talk to a person and make him your husband.
And yeah. He was in a band.
And
ooh,
he was in a band. And an, yeah.
Double whammy,
yeah. A post hardcore band at that. Which an like,
alley-oop.
Yeah, that's an alley-oop. April Gloria, everybody. Where can everybody find you online?
Ooh, okay, so if you're ancient and have Facebook, I do a Facebook page mm-hmm. that has albums of all of the costumes that I've done with work in progress pictures, if you care about seeing how I make stuff before video took over everything. That's just April Gloria Cosplay on Facebook. And then I have Instagram/threads, if anyone does that, and Twitter, or X. Oh, yeah. Man, I can't keep up with all this crap.
I'm calling it Twitter forever.
Twitter, I don't ever, like, I can't. I just can't call it X. That's so silly.
Well, what are you going to do? I sent you an X?
I sent you an X.
Did you see that X online?
Dang.
No. Did you see that tweet? I tweeted somebody. It sounds better.
Yeah, like, everybody knows what that is, though. But so that's _ April Gloria, because the name was taken on Instagram. So _ April Gloria on Instagram and Twitter, and that's about it. Just whatever, you know, platform you're on, search April Gloria, and if you see a person in a silly costume, that's probably me.
yeah that's it. I love it. Thank you so much for doing this. I really had such a great time getting to chat with you and learn more about who you were as a child and all that stuff. It was super fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Like, all of the non-talking I did as a child and teenager, I'm getting out now. So I'm just like,
there you go,
yakking all the time.
That was the whole point. real quick for me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mike Valdez. My TikTok is at official Mike Valdez. You can also go to thekidfromup.com. That is my website until Disney sues me. You can find all things there. My live show dates. You can find my podcast, my album, all kinds of stuff. It's all there. Also, my merch, childlikewonder.co. There's a bunch of, you know, different fun designs, some church merch, there's some church camp shirts, unspoken prayer request sweatshirt, and also the Viewmaster collection is there as well. But other than that, thank you so much for listening, and this was such a great time. Don't lose your sense of childlike wonder. Bye, besties.